God is not particularly interested in how much you know. He's very interested in how much you love. Here's Pastor Al Pittman.
I believe when you get to heaven that God is not going to say, how many times were you right? I believe he's going to say, who did you love? He's not going to ask me, how many people attended your services, Al? No. He's going to say, Al, who did you love? Who did you love? That's the most important thing. Loving God and loving other people. That's what really matters. We need to love one another. Jesus commanded us to love one another. How? As the Father has loved us.
Dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place. You are mine. Dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place.
Happy New Year from all of us at The Dwelling Place. The year 2020 is behind us now, and when history is written at some later date, 2020 will be known for some very negative things, including COVID-19 and one of the most divisive elections in our nation's history. But Pastor Al Pittman will remind us as we begin 2021 that God is still on the throne, and he's still in the business of saving lost souls. There are a lot of those around the world, and as we continue to deal with social issues and viral pandemics, let's remember that a single saved soul among all the other issues of the day is a reason to celebrate and praise God. Here's Pastor Al.
We come to the last ingredient for the toil. The first is steadfastly in the word. The second is fellowship. The third ingredient for good soil is prayer. You see that in verse 42? And in prayer. They broke bread together. They fellowshiped, but also in prayer. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, confess your trespasses to one another, your sins to one another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Man, the devil wants to isolate you, but God wants us to come together in fellowship. And yes, even to confess our faults to one another, our sins to one another. Why? So that you can be healed. There's a lot of believers that are not healed because they haven't told anybody, they haven't confessed anything. And they think they can work it out and fix it on their own. God has called us to a living organism. It's called the body of Jesus Christ. Just as your physical body, so is the body of Jesus Christ. You know, your eyes can't say, I don't have no need of the nose or the nose. I have no need of the ears or anything. Every part is important. And we need to pray for each other so that we can have a healthy body. We need to confess so that we can pray for each other that we might be healed. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 and 19. Paul exhorts the church there to pray with all perseverance and supplication one for another. It takes perseverance. Prayer is a labor of love, but it takes perseverance. To continually pray for each other, you know, to continually, and with prayer, perseverance, and supplication. Supplication is simply, in all humility, understanding, God, we're totally dependent upon you. We need your help. That's the way we're to pray for one another. All perseverance and supplication. In 2020, God is calling us to pray. I think he's calling us to pray as never before, to pray for one another. Yes, in our individual lives, but also corporately. That's why we do the once-a-month meeting called Life Night. It's not only a time to celebrate, but it's a time to pray and to pray for one another and to just pray collectively as a body of believers. But we can pray in our own lives and all. And I believe in 2020, the world, for one thing, is calling people to come out of the closet. I think in 2020, God is calling the church back into the closet to pray, to pray. You say, well, where is that in Scripture? Well, let me tell you, Jesus said it himself. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, he said, but you, when you pray, go into your room, to your closet. Amen? Go into your room, and when you have shut your door, he didn't say invite everybody in. He said, this is individual. When you shut your door, pray to your Father. Amen. It's your door. It's your Father who is in the secret place. Amen. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Do you believe that? And he says, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. You know, somehow I've got a formula. I'm going to twist the arm of God to do what my bidding. That's not the way it works. I'm going to say this enough times that God's going to get tired of it, and then he's going to give me what I want. Vain repetition, is what the Bible calls it. But simply ask the Father, because he knows our needs even before we ask. But he wants us to ask. Just like we want our children to ask us for things, even though we may know their need even beforehand. You know, they want a cookie, right? And you don't want them just going in the cookie jar. You want them to ask. You say, no, you can't have it right now, you know. What does that asking demonstrate? Demonstrates a trust and reliance upon the parent. And God wants us to ask for things, even though he already knows what our needs are, because he wants to see our faith. Amen? He wants to see our faith. And so we need to pray. Go into your closet. You shut your door. Pray to your Father. And what the Father sees in secret, he will reward openly. As we pray for one another, I'll say this. I think we can do more for one another in private than we can in public. In the privacy of your prayer closet, are you praying for your brothers and sisters in Christ? Are you praying for this church or this fellowship? Because if you're praying, God will reward us openly. Amen? And he'll continue to bless this ministry. In verse 43, we read here in Acts chapter 2, in verse 43, it says, then fear, as a result of doctrine and fellowship and prayers, that's good soil mixture. The Bible says, then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. I find that interesting. That the result of this good soil was fear. Now, it's not a debilitating fear. When it talks about fear, it talks about the reverential fear and honor of God, toward God. And we not only see that as a result, but there was a manifestation of the power of God through the apostles. And I think, you know, if God's going to move mightily in this church, man, we need to be a people that are committed in the Lord, committed to his word, to doctrine, to fellowship, and also to prayer. And we'll watch the Lord show up. Amen. Jesus Christ will be honored in this place, and the power of God will be manifested here at Calvary Worship Center. Now, let's get to the third verb, because we've got know and grow, now show. In verses 44 to 46, I believe, we read these words. It says in verse 44, now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily, with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food, with gladness and simplicity of heart. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, Jesus said this, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Amen. Let your light so shine before men that we may glorify our Father in heaven. In the early church, there was a tangible demonstration of their love for one another, that it was manifested by the fact that they were willing to meet each other's needs, a tangible manifestation of their love for one another. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, John says, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Amen. Love for one another should not be a philosophy or a theory, but it should be a practice within the church. And so they weren't just talking about love, they were showing love. And this year we need to show our love in a tangible way to one another. And this was done, the Bible tells us in verse 46, the latter part, done in simplicity. They shared in the meals together and all this stuff, and they did it in simplicity, the Bible says, the latter part of verse 46, simplicity of heart. That's a very important thing for us to remember. A simplicity found through loving God and loving people. You know, that's really what it all boils down to. Loving God and loving people. Amen. I believe when you get to heaven that God is not going to say, how many times were you right? I believe he's going to say, who did you love? He's not going to ask me, how many people attended your services, Al? No. He's going to say, Al, who did you love? Who did you love? That's the most important thing. Loving God and loving other people. That's what really matters. We need to love one another. Jesus commanded us to love one another. How? As the Father has loved us. And to do it, how? In simplicity. Let's not miss that. Simplicity. I think a lot of what we do in the church today is just stuff. Somebody said, you know, the Holy Spirit could leave the church today and nobody would know he's gone. because we've got our own set way of doing things and all this kind of stuff that, you know, are we really doing things according to what the Word of God tells us to do? People are going to do church really well and still be hating each other and still have people coming in, you know, on the personality of the pastor or whatever. God calls us to love one another. He calls us to say, it's not all these other things that we look at that are important, to make it simple. To love each other in simplicity is not that hard. We make it so hard, don't we? We make it so hard. I don't believe church was ever meant to be as hard as we've made it today. In simplicity, loving God and loving other people. Paul warned us about this in 2 Corinthians 11:3. He said, but I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your mind may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. It's simple. It's not as hard as we have made it. Simplicity that is in Christ.
We'll pause here for a few moments, and Pastor Al will then return with the second half of today's message. Would you find it exciting to be able to share the gospel with the entire world? That's the goal of this radio outreach, and we would appreciate you praying about partnering with us financially to help accomplish that goal. To join our support team, visit our website at cwccs.org. Now let's turn things over once again to Pastor Al Pittman with the second half of today's message.
When politics, class warfare, racial insensitivity, and oversensitivity, and all of these things enter into our fellowship, become a measuring stick for our fellowship, then koinonia, fellowship, God calls us to have in Christ, becomes chaotic. And divisions take place within the church. When we allow all these other things, well, I can't fellowship with you unless you're a conservative, or unless you're a liberal. Really? There's neither slave nor Gentile, you know, male nor female, you know, none of that in Christ. We're all one in Jesus Christ. Amen? We should have fellowship and koinonia with one another, and divisions are not of God. So here's my exhortation to you, KISS. Keep it simple, saints. Amen. Keep it simple, saints. In 2020, let's make it our goal to show the world what loving one another in Christ looks like in practice, and not just in theory. So know, grow, show, and lastly, go. Amen? Go. Verse 47, they were praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Amen? Now, I say this as go because in order for the early church to have favor among the people, they had to be among the people. Amen? They weren't just, you know, sequestered in a box somewhere and four walls and a ceiling, you know. They went out and were among the people just as we are in our society. They were among the people. Evangelism is really one of the keys to church growth, reaching out to the world. But when we look at church growth today, much of church growth today is transfer growth. Transfer growth. People leaving one church, going to another church, you know. And a lot of times people go to these churches, and some of these churches are thousands of people, not picking out one church or anything like that, but are thousands of people. People go for the amenities. Oh, you've got a better singles group. In other words, you got better good-looking women in the singles ministry. Amen? I'm just saying. I'm going to go to this church. Oh, they have a slide for the kids and the children. The amenities. We are consumer-driven within the church. Leaving one church, or somebody offended me. Oh, I got offended. I'm going to go find another church. Well, God wants you to stay there unless they're preaching false doctrine. He wants you to stay there so you can grow up. Amen. A lot of times we want to leave. But a lot of the church growth we see today is because of transfer growth. In other words, we are not evangelizing America. We're not evangelizing. We talk about it, we pray about it, but we're not evangelizing. Because evangelism is not packing 50,000 people in a stadium, even though that's great. Real evangelism happens as it did in the early church, among the people in the community. Christ called us to reach the world. Not other people, members in, their, in other churches, but to reach the world. Mark chapter 16, 15, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. As the saying goes, a church that does not evangelize will soon fossilize. A church that does not evangelize will soon fossilize. And so will that independent believer. It's important for us to reach out to the world. I've been to some churches where you look out there and, you know, I've got snow on my roof, amen. Got a little snow down here too. I'm getting older. But when I go to a church and I look out over the congregation and all I see is Q-tips, and we need some Q-tips, I'm just saying. But when everybody in there look like a Q-tip, that church is on its way out. It will be a dead church soon, if not already. Because there's no blood, no new blood coming in, no new conference, no new wineskins. The day I look out and see we all got the same kind of hair, I'm gonna resign, amen? Because God ain't doing nothing here, amen? Somebody ought to praise God on that one, amen? The church is not evangelizing, folks. A recent Barna report not too long ago, it was February the 5th, 2019, and I quote, said that almost half of practicing Christian millennials say evangelism is wrong, close quote. Now, if the millennials are saying evangelism is wrong, what's going to happen to the generation that comes after us? What's going to happen to Calvary Worship Center in 30 years? It'll be dead. There'll be a Safeway in here again or something. I don't know. Department store, you know. What's happening to the church? And I don't know what the deal is, and I'm going a little bit long here, but I'll wrap it up. I don't want to let you go into 2020. I want to hold you as long as I can. When I was a young Christian, I got saved at the age of 18. We went everywhere, didn't we, honey? We preached, man. We went to East St. Louis on the street corner. We talked to folks that, you know, I'd be scared to talk to you today. Amen. but we talked to anybody who would hear. We went to, you know, the prison system here in town and, you know, wherever. We had a little Christian band, and we told everybody about Jesus. And now we have a generation that's been lied to, millennials who feel like evangelism is wrong. Why? Because we don't want to offend anybody. See, this is where we are today, you know, and those of you who are millennials need to stand up and rebel against that and say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. Fear keeps God's people out of the harvest field. But the Bible tells us God does not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, because you need those to reach the lost. Now, here's the deal. God is not looking for ability. As the saying goes, he's looking for availability. He's looking for somebody who will believe that he is God. And here's what I want to encourage you to do in 2020. Just tell your story. Just tell your story. You think, well, wait a minute, I don't have a degree, and I'm not Pastor Al, and I don't study the Bible, whatever, I don't know. It doesn't matter. Just tell your story. There is power in your story. And you don't have to embellish your story. Yeah, I was a pretty big Coke dealer in Colorado Springs. Yeah, you went to King Supers and bought two cases of Coke every week. You don't have to embellish, you know, make it, you know, that's what you call a bragamony, not a testimony, and God can't use that. Just tell the truth. Tell your story, what Jesus Christ has done for you. The Bible tells us in Revelation 12, 11, it says, and they overcame him, that is the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Amen. And they did not love their lives to the death. Here's the thing. We don't evangelize because we love ourselves too much. We want people to like us. They did not love their lives to the death. This past week, I think it was this past week, 11 of our brothers in Christ were martyred because they put their faith in Jesus Christ in Nigeria. It was a revenge killing because we took out the ISIS leader several weeks ago. These 11 brothers, 10 of them were beheaded. One was shot in the head. These are our brothers we're talking about. Just because they named the name of Jesus. They did not love their lives even to death. The conclusion of the matter, you know, on that somber note is, I want you to have a happy new year. Amen. But when you think about it, happy new year is circumstantial. A blessed new year is God ordained. And God has ordained for you a blessed new year. Psalm 65, verse 11, you crown the year with your goodness and your paths drip with abundance. God has a path of abundance for you in this new year. And he has crowned the year already. He's gone before us. He's already been through 2020. The Bible says he goes before us and he is also our rear guard. Therefore, understanding that God has ordained a blessing for me, God has ordained me a path of goodness that drips with abundance. No matter what comes my way, we can press on in 2020 to know, to grow, to show, and to go. Amen. Philippians 3:13, Paul says there, but one thing I do, when you think about 2019 and the wouldas, shouldas, and couldas, you know, if ands and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have had a Merry Christmas, amen? That's an old saying. But Paul said, you know what, one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Look at that, forgetting what's behind, but I'm reaching. Will you reach this year? Because why? Because God's call for you in 2020 is upward. It's not a downward spiral. It's upward. No matter what comes against you, no weapon formed against you will prosper. Why? Because you have an upward call in Christ Jesus. Amen. Know, grow, show, and go in 2020. That is that's 2020 vision for the new year. God bless you.
We hope that you've been blessed and challenged and encouraged by today's message. If you'd like to hear this message again, you can listen, watch, or download with a simple click. Just go to cwccs.org and click the Messages tab at the top of the page. And while you're checking out our website, be sure to download the Calvary Worship Center app for your device and take Pastor Al wherever you go. The Dwelling Place is also available at oneplace.com. And you can find One Place on the internet and with a search on your Alexa or Google Play-enabled device. You can also share a prayer request with us, and we'll count it a privilege to pray for you. Just send an email to amen@cwccs.org. Let me also remind you in closing that The Dwelling Place is a listener-supported outreach. We count on your support to keep this radio ministry going and growing. If you'd like to join our support team with a one-time gift, or on a regular monthly basis, you can do so at our website, cwccs.org, or by texting the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. If you live in the Colorado Springs area and are looking for a church home, or you'll be visiting the area in the future, we invite you to come join us for worship here at Calvary Worship Center at either our Creekside or Westside campus. You'll find directions and the current schedule we have for limited access live services at cwccs.org. And no matter where you are, you can watch our services via live streaming right there at our website. Now, here's a special message from Pastor Al.
Today in America, our nation is divided. In an atmosphere of racial, social, political, and economic upheaval, many families and individuals are searching for rest. Hi, I'm Pastor Al Pittman with Calvary Worship Center here in Colorado Springs. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The rest he spoke about is not just a few days away from the turmoil of this world, but rest for the soul. Rest which can only be found in a right relationship with God. You can have eternal rest in Christ today by simply repeating this prayer after me. Wherever you are, simply say, "Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I confess I'm a sinner. Come into my life. I receive you as my Lord and as my Savior. Amen." If you prayed that prayer, let us know. Go to cwccs.org/Jesus, and we will send you free information to help you in your new life in Christ. God bless.
Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and join us next time for The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman, presented by Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado.